The board will call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Trustee Molina.
Present.
Trustee Rivera.
Present.
Trustee Stewart Green.
Present.
Trustee Mathis.
Here.
Trustee Blanchard.
Present.
Trustee Garcia.
Present.
Trustee Jennings.
Here.
Trustee Stepp.
Here.
Augustine Chavez, would you?
Yes.
Thank you.
And at first, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adriana Brozard, she's going to do the land acknowledgement today.
Good evening, members of the Board of Trustees, Board President Janet Rivera, President Lisa Aguilera Lorenzen, and members of the public. I'm Adriana Broger, Professor of Digital Media. We acknowledge that San Joaquin Delta College serves students and the community on the unceded ancestral homeland of Indigenous peoples, including the Yokuts, Plains Miwok, Patwin, and Anishinaabe. This land remains inseparable from its Aboriginal stewards. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland, and we wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Yokuts, Plains Miwok, Patwin, and Anishinaabe, including by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. We remain grateful for the rich culture, languages, contributions, and heritage of the First Nation peoples who lived here and loved here, who raised their families here, who cared for land and life here, who are buried in many marked and unmarked places here, and who remain here despite acts of genocide, assimilation, and forced removal. Let us honor them, this land, and all life in our thoughts, words, and actions in this place. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any public comments, Robin?
Yes, we do. The first public comment is
President Rivera, Dr. Aguilar-Lorenzen, esteemed board members. I had originally intended to come up and do a little bragging about the amazing things that are going on in my area, but in the interests of time, I think I'll skip that. I did, however, have the unhappy task of informing you of the passing of Philip West last week. He was the executive director of the Solano Symphony, and in his loss, Delta College has lost a partner and collaborator and a very, very strong and lifelong advocate for the fine performing arts here at Delta College. So I have not seen anything in the papers about it, so I just wanted to make sure y'all were aware.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next public comment is Councilor Delta College. Next public comment is Janice Takahashi.
Good evening, Board of Trustees, President Janet Rivera, esteemed trustees, President Aguilar Lorenzen, and administrators and colleagues. My name is Janice Takahashi, and I'm here today as one of the co-chairs of FCAPE. There is nothing personal in the raising of FCAPE's concerns tonight. However, for a second time this year, we need to address the continuous and pervasive violation of equitable hiring practices and the non-transparent way this has been handled. One of the Equity Task Force's responsibilities is to address the district's actions when it undermines our equity work, and the faculty personnel item on today's agenda is a troubling example of this. The violation of the 67% rule resulted in a shockingly long list of faculty hires. This robbed diverse populations of the opportunity to equitably compete for open positions. And it also robbed the tracks of the opportunity to expand the faculty diversity of their programs. Specifically, the counseling division has been denied the ability to vet and hire a seasoned counselor who has the skills and shared Anapi life experiences to support the growth of FCAPE's over 2 million Anapese EPIC grant-funded programs. We are not disputing the required legal resolution of these violations or the confidentiality surrounding the personnel issues. However, the administration has been aware of these violations for quite some time, and yet there has been no direct communication related to the issue or discussion around the prevention or solutions with the shared governance groups, including the task forces. The district still has major anti-racist and equity work to accomplish, especially when equity-minded principles can so easily be circumvented or marginalized, as illustrated by tonight's agenda. There is talk that the task forces are no longer needed and instead replaced by project-based funding. I see proof of the opposite. Individual siloed projects will not create the synergy needed for systemic change or provide the oversight of important equity issues. Expand, not disband, the responsibilities of the equity task forces. To start with, include the task forces as key collaborators in drafting and supporting the outcomes of the new EEO plan. Delta has an amazing group of dedicated individuals who have shown their commitment to combating racism and creating an environment where equity can flourish. Let's continue to weave a strong cloth of equity instead of continuously mending the holes that we create. Thank you for your time.
Next public comment is from Karen Eastridge-Stallone.
I'm a millennial, so I'm going to read from my phone. Sorry. It's a thing. I'm also losing my sight because I'm getting older. So, members of the board, today you have a sizable list of full-time faculty hires out for your approval. A good number, but not all of these, sorry, Tana Akers, of these positions come as a result of working part-time employees beyond Ed Code parameters, specifically the 67% rule. The end result is a full-time job, yes, but it comes from overworking vulnerable, untenured members of our teaching pool, often people who don't have a say and are afraid to speak out when they are either overscheduled or underscheduled, and all of that that goes on with being untenured. Whether it was willful ignorance, carelessness, or the result of compounding years of systematic failures, the reality is that it happened. This is deja vu of the May 6, 2022 meeting. Leadership mistakes remain the common thread. These mistakes are compounded when considering the lift of equity work that faculty have done the past 3 years, specifically the equity task forces that we absolutely need on this campus. We have been asked to push for diverse hiring pools, to consider campus diversity, and to work to match it with our faculty pool. It doesn't right now. That work is negated in parts when the district hires outside of the parameters we are asked to hold dear. These actions result in current faculty quiet quitting and pushing away from committee work because our work means nothing. Shared governance is devalued, but I often wonder, and I've been wondering more lately, if the end goal of the dismantling of shared governance is a push towards a participatory structure that so many of our current leadership team has seen when they were within the Los Rios system. I implore this campus, everybody on this campus, to pay attention to those subversive moves. The end result of these mistakes is human collateral. I know from another bad leadership decision, that by personal experience, what it's like to be that human collateral for Delta College. Even when we get the full-time job and we eventually get tenure, we don't move on from the abuses. They sit with us, they stew, they inform our decisions on this campus and who we are as faculty members. And every time those of us who've been through a situation similar to this are innocent, see this happen again And we ask for changes to prevent bad management decisions, to prevent systematic failures from continuing to happen and have it from impacting others. The result is the same thing over and over again. In 13 years on this campus, every time we say we're going to fix something, we don't fix it. We don't learn. And at this point, I know we don't like to use the term, but the reality of everything I'm seeing in the past year or so is it remains the Delta way. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Last public comment is from Deborah Lee.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah Louie, kind of short Deborah Louie. A couple of inches would have been nice, Dad. I'm a retired counselor professor, and I came back to work part-time. And in so doing, I became deeply involved with the creation of the Faculty Caucus for Asian Pacific Equity, or called FCAPE. And so I'm here to share that FCAPE's work on the following DEI initiatives has been negatively affected by the violation of the 67% rule. We focused our efforts on perfecting the hiring process. We also researched websites and recommended sites that Delta College could use to advertise its positions. We ramped up EEO training. We developed new training modules. We engaged with full-time faculty to engage with the hiring process. We even revised curriculum for the new faculty academy to include equity work. We reached out to colleagues at other campuses across the state to spread the word about the DEI work that was being done at our college and the open positions that were announced. Dr. Villavicencio, who couldn't be here tonight because he's interviewing for the Middle College High School. He's not trying to get another job. He better not. But anyway, so he and I worked very closely with Dr. Lawrenson for the past 2 years to submit proposals to the Department of Education for an ANAPESI grant. In the proposal, we shared data that spoke to the lack of role models and mentors at all levels of employment at the college for our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander students. People whose faces reflected their faces, people whose cultural knowledge and lived experience of being low income, first generation college, from home suffering generational traumas of war and poverty, PTSD, and other mental health issues. Our efforts were rewarded with a close to $2 million to serve Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander students to close the equity gap and provide needed services as grant deliverables. However, as a result of the violation of the 67% rule, a great many of our students will continue to be underserved, and our DEI hiring work has gone down the drain. Four Asian American counselors, three with 25 years plus of distinguished service to the district, have retired or resigned. As of tonight, not one counselor professor who reflects the shared lived experiences of our ANAPI students will fill the 12 positions on tonight's board agenda. This is a problem that I feel that you as a board of trustees need to know moving forward. So I just wanna end by just thanking you very much for your consideration and especially for listening to what we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. That completes our open session for right now. We're going to adjourn to closed session, and it should be about a half hour, and then come back. Thank you. The board has returned from closed session this evening, and by closed session, by a majority, by unanimous vote of 5495-6.9, the board denied the tort claim filed by a temporary manager alleging retaliation. Thank you. Consent agenda. What is the pleasure of the board?
Trustee Rivera?
Yes.
The governance process, the approval of trustee absent.
So sorry. I have our glasses when I'm gone. Item D. I'm sorry. A. Item A. C.
It's the 4A, the approval of trustee absence, trustee Kathleen Garcia.
I apologize. I am the one. Education Code Section 7245 and 425 and Delft College allows. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start again. We have an item on here to approve the absence of trustee Kathleen Garcia for her absence on the 21st of February. What is the pleasure of the board? So moved.
Second.
Okay. So moved and second. Roll call, please.
Trustee Molina?
Yes.
Trustee Rivera?
Yes.
Trustee Stewart Green?
Yes.
Trustee Mathis?
Yes. Yeah.
Trustee Blanchard?
Yes. Yeah.
Trustee Garcia?
Yes. Yeah.
Trustee Jennings?
Yes.
Yes. The next item, recognition.
All right, good evening, President Rivera, trustees, Dr. Aguilar-Lawrenson, and colleagues. Happy to be with you again this evening for a couple of recognitions. I have come before you periodically to share good news about athletic successes in competition. And now I'm going to share tonight about a tremendous athletic success in the classroom. We learned recently that last year's swim and dive team will be honored later this month by the California Community College Athletic Association for the high level of team academic achievement. So by the entire team, this is actually the first time that a Delta College Athletics team has received this honor. You can see some of the stats there for our swim and dive team, an overall cumulative GPA of 3.78, a GPA of 3.0 or better for 16 of the 17 athletes, 3.5 or better for 11 of 17, and a 4.0 or better for 4 of 17 athletes, basically a quarter of the team with a 4.0. Want to also give a special shout out to student athlete Sophia Schwartz, who in a related honor, earned a spot on the CCCAA Scholar Athlete Individual Honor Roll. And that is only the second time that a Delta College athlete has won that award in nearly 40 years. And by the way, the swim and dive team did really well in the pool as well, winning their first conference swim title since 2000. So a lot of history being made by this team. And Coach Nate Barash is here tonight, as is team captain Madison Rishwain. Would you guys like to come up and
Thank you, everyone, for having us. Dr. Lawrenson, Board President Rivera, members of the board and guests. I'm Nathan Barash. I'm the head coach of the Women's Aquatic Program here at Delta. First, I wanted to recognize the incredible staff that Athletic Director Tony Espinoza and the Athletic Administration has allowed us to develop over the years for these student athletes. Their selfless contributions and is paramount to our success for the program. Coach Mike Maroney, Coach Nate Leroy, Coach Robert Wimberly, Coach Todd Harrington, and Coach Tatum Chesla also have been insurmountable in the success of the team. It truly takes a team to help our athletes be successful in and out of the classroom. Standing next to me is Madison Rishwain. She's a 2022 All-American backstroker and a 3.6 GPA, cumulative GPA, But most importantly, she's a health sciences and nursing major, and she'll be transferring to Sac State in the fall. And she's destined for greatness beyond Delta College, obviously. So the 2021-22 Women's Aquatics Program, as you see, did some amazing things. They might be one for the record books, actually. Persevering through so many new and challenging obstacles, as did much of the world along with us, they rose to the top in more ways than one. Fall of 2021, they completed their historic undefeated Big Eight Water Polo Championship and made it to the state Final Four for the sixth time in 7 years. But that wasn't enough. They wanted more. So training hard through the spring and all their hard work paid off, winning, as Alex said, our first Big Eight swim and dive championship since 2000. Most importantly, the amazing group of student athletes put the exclamation point on student first, athlete second, as evidenced by the 3C2A Community College Academic Award. We're so amazingly grateful and proud to be recognized at the highest level of the California Community College for our academics, along with all the hard work in the pool. And we really want to thank all of you for your continued support of our program and helping us and all of Delta Athletics help our dreams come true. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming tonight. Really appreciate it. Secondly, this evening, I wanted to share with you a story about an act of service performed by a Delta student who we thought should get some attention for this. Isabella Mora, who's here tonight with her family. Welcome. Isabella went, I'm sorry. Come on up. Isabella went through our PsychTech program and is now a third semester nursing student here at Delta. She expects to graduate in December, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So recently, she was driving home from the gym here in Stockton through a neighborhood, passed by a home, and saw an older man and woman getting out of a car. And she just happened, as she was passing by, she saw the older gentleman fall, take a nasty fall, hit his head on the ground. So her instincts kicked in, and she stopped and got out of the car and ran over and introduced herself and did a quick assessment. And very carefully, of course, as a nursing student, she knows how these things should be done. So carefully assisted the man to get back on his feet and helped them to the house. And then actually, as it would happen, about a week later, she was driving by the same house again and saw them again and stopped again just to say hello and see how things were going and make sure everything was okay. And they were both very appreciative of that. It turns out that this couple is the father-in-law and mother-in-law of Delta College athletics trainer Kevin Anderson. And yeah, things are serendipitous, aren't they? Once he found out about what Isabella did, he wrote a really lovely note to her professor Mary Neville, as well as Dean Lisa Lucchesi, and just to offer his thanks. And I'm going to just read a short snippet from his note. So these are Kevin's words. He said, "I have been working in sports medicine at various levels for 33 years, both on the field and in the classroom. I've always believed you can teach anyone the classroom side of a profession. It's the skills and compassion that Isabella showed here that are unteachable. You either have it or you don't. The fact that she stopped a second time to check on them is amazing." He goes on to say, "Thank you to Isabella Mora for helping my in-laws, and thank you to the nursing program at Delta College for making a difference with the current and future generations of nursing students." So, when I talked to Isabel about this last week, she was like modest, like, "Oh, this isn't a big deal, right?" But I just think it shows that, you know, we how we strive to cultivate students who are not only excellent in their areas of study, but are also excellent human beings. So grateful to have you here tonight. And do you want to say anything?
Thank you. So,
it has to be a family.
Okay. So this is my father, Raul Mora, my mother, Alma Mora, and my little brother, Isaiah Mora. I just wanted to thank you guys for the recognition and this acknowledgement. It was extremely unexpected because what I did, like you mentioned, was very instinctive. And helping others in my community was one of the main reasons that I chose to become a nurse. And I'm just very grateful to have been taught and learned skills while in the nursing program and the psych tech program, because these skills helped me not only with this older gentleman, but my own grandfather as well. So I just want to say thank you for my experience at Dartmouth. Thank you.
Another thing where she swam with my grandchildren back in the day. Mm-hmm. You have done a remarkable thing in terms of just instinct. Her grandfather used to work here at Delta College in Rome Moore, yeah. And her grandmother is Linda Moore. So helping people with the new DNA.
It is.
And I would really like you and the family to take a picture with Dr. Lawrence as well as the swim young lady. If you could take a picture also with Dr. Lawrence, and just take 2 minutes. And would you do that? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to do this from the side because of the podium. I'm going to move back. There we go. We got this. All right, ready. 1, 2, 3. Perfect.
The board reserves the right to modify the order of business in the manner when it deems appropriate. Are there any changes to the agenda? Okay. Consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any questions? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Trustee Molina?
Yes.
Trustee Rivera?
Yes.
Trustee Stewart Green?
Yes.
Trustee Mathis?
Yes.
Trustee Bunter?
Yes.
Trustee Garcia?
Yes.
Trustee Jennings?
Yes.
Trustee
Stevens.
Yes.
Moving on. Non-consent agenda. Notice of completion of emergency exceptions to the form of bid process for the CMAS blood project and adoption of resolution 23-001. I've seen.
Yes, good evening. Board President Rivera, Superintendent President Dr. Aguilera Lawrenson, esteemed members of the board, colleagues, and guests, the administration recommends the Board of Trustees adopt resolution number 23-001, accepting completion of the emergency exception to the formal bid process for the CMAS flood project, and that the notice of completion is filed.
What is the pleasure of the board? Second. Any questions? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Molina?
Yes.
Trustee Rivera?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
Trustee Mathis?
Yes.
Trustee Bunter?
Yes.
Trustee Garcia?
Yes.
Trustee Jennings?
Yes.
Trustee Stevens?
Yes.
Item number 9, board policy. Adoption of board policy 6250, budget management.
President Rivera, members of the board, colleagues, and community members. Board policy 6250 is on this agenda as a second reading. As a condition of the emergency conditions signed with the state, San Joaquin Delta College is required to add in specific language for a reserve. The language being recommended to be added to BP 6250 is The district's unrestricted reserve shall be a minimum of 2 months of the total unrestricted general fund expenditures.
What is the pleasure of the board? Any questions? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Molina?
Yes.
Trustee Rivera?
Yes.
Trustee Stewart Green?
Yes.
Trustee Mathis?
Yes.
Trustee Blanchard?
Yes.
Trustee Garcia?
Yes.
Trustee Jennings?
Yes.
Trustee Stevens?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Student services, reports, again, reports, discussion items, and action. Facilities on term, policy. Stacy?
Stacy's a little shy.
I'm just kidding, she's not. All right.
It's going to keep me out of trouble. Good evening.
Good evening. Good members of the board. Today we're here to talk about deferred maintenance. My name is Augustine Chavez.
I'm Stacey Panola.
She is our very fine director of facilities management and operations. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Next slide, please. So before we began, we just wanted to take a higher level look and look at the age of all of our facilities. The facilities themselves tell a very, very good story. But the thing that struck out to me when I first saw this was the number of buildings in from the 70s. So it seemed like there was a huge building boom here at Delta College in the 70s. And you can see those buildings are our major instructional buildings in the college. Next slide, please. You can...
So this is a photo, thanks to Alex for finding this. It's the college being built back in the early 70s. This is a shot from the Bud Shops looking at the Holt Building. Next slide. Our students from 1977. You'll notice the green grass. This is facing the Shima Building right next to Danner. Go ahead.
She was making fun of me because I have an outfit that looks like that and I'm not from the 70s. I was like, anyways.
He transport himself. Next slide. This is our campus today. We have grown, we have progressed, we've got new buildings, we've got a wonderful plaza. So we have gone forward.
Yeah.
Next slide. And our students of today, this is actually a similar shot of from 1977. As you can see, the grass is gone. We have more pathways and students still on our campus today.
Yeah. We just wanted to take that quick trip down memory lane just to kind of explain the buildings that we have here. They all have a story about all the things that have gone through and happened here at Delta College. And when we think about facilities, the first thing to think about is just the wood and the steel that happens within them. But when we were thinking about this project, what are we really talking about? We're talking about the maintaining those facilities, which is the point of this presentation, so that those interactions that you saw in those two slides are fruitful and they're full of learning. So we wanted just to, Stacy and I just wanted to bring that up and give the big picture of why we do what we do. So now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of deferred maintenance.
And we track our deferred maintenance, which is postponed items that we don't have funding for at the time. There are different funding sources we use. We have scheduled maintenance, we have one-time funds, we have program review funds. Currently, to date, we're at $71 million in postponed maintenance items on this campus. Currently, though, we are doing $30 million worth of projects within that list.
Next slide. So in the board agenda item is a multi-page Excel spreadsheet, actually PDF of an Excel spreadsheet of all of our deferred maintenance projects. So each row inside of that spreadsheet indicates a facility component. So I think of it as like a system, so plumbing, electrical, and then a description and then a location. So those are given rough estimates based on some information in 2018-19. And they are given some inflationary increases and their estimated year of completion. So we have this running list and it is attached, and we've more than happy to entertain any questions you guys may have about that item that is attached in the agenda. Next slide, please.
Yes, I have a quick question.
Sure.
It says, is that year of completion, which says fiscal year?
No, it's the year it's supposed to have been done.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like 10 years ago.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, this is a dream list?
This is an ongoing list of items that should have been repaired. Like in 2012-13, we should have done all the drinking fountains at that time. We did not. We are currently doing that now. But those are items that should have been done during those years.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. And you prioritize these?
Yeah.
The most need.
Mm-hmm. The most need. Within, based on funding that we get.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Thank you.
And what is our, the governor giving us, capital
outlay
money?
Yeah, so it's a great question. We had a good year this year. Mm-hmm. $16 million scheduled maintenance money. SMSR is the money that we utilize. It's a categorical for certain things. And Stacy she utilized the trouble ticket system we use and this list to prioritize and get those that are things that we're hearing the most reports about through our trouble ticketing system and the ones that are the most urgent that are based on this list.
Any other questions?
Yes.
How many of these buildings are fully used at this point?
Currently, all buildings are being used. There are classes in every building using almost every room. And the offices are all being used by instructors at some point during the week. So our buildings are being utilized throughout the week.
So this may be not on the agenda, but anybody renting from us?
We do have facility rentals from outside agencies. We do that. The theaters with Chris Guptill, assistance with that. But we do have other agencies renting our facilities, using our classrooms on the weekends, those kinds of things.
So these renters, are they consistent or sporadic?
They're getting better since COVID has, people are starting to come back and rent more often, do many different things on our campus on the weekends. So it's good.
All the damages from the leakage are under control?
They're, yes.
Various projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. Next slide, please.
So some of the major items on our deferred list, there are sloped roofs, our HVAC system, parking lots, classroom-wide flooring all throughout the campus, exterior painting, our athletic fields are part of that project, the walking deck repairs that are all being scheduled through our scheduled maintenance funds.
Next slide.
So this is just a way we track things. This is our BUD building. So this shows a sample of the way the roof looks. The red actually shows that roof should be replaced right now. And the orange is it needs to be replaced eventually. We just don't have funding for such a massive project at this point. But we are tracking all of these items on our roofings. Our parking lots are a large item that need to be addressed. Those are not funded through our scheduled maintenance projects. Those have to be funded through district funds, but we are tracking our parking lots as well.
Let me ask a question. How many potholes do we have out there?
Quite a few.
Big rains and...
Quite a few. We are doing East Burke Bradley Road. So the front of the campus roadway will be done. We do have funding to actually do the South Burke Bradley Road as well. So our roads, we are able to get done. Our parking lots are another his tackle to get for us funding.
Appreciate that.
Are we still maintaining the parking fund, and we stopped developing a parking fund?
We still, good question. We still have a parking fund. We are using HERF revenue or HERF funds to what the HERF allows you to do is to use lost revenue. So we take revenue from immediately before the pandemic, and we've been funding our parking with that.
And that's when we're still charging for parking.
Correct, mm-hmm. Right. We're not charging this year.
And we've been making repairs in the parking lots that are the worst, but we just don't have the funds to replace an entire.
Yeah, I just also would like to say that we discussed this actually at Cabinet, talking about what we want to do for next fall. So I know that Augustine's gathering some numbers and how that funding was used. Because with fewer students on campus, then that's a lower revenue, and we need to look at that. So we've been discussing that.
Thank you.
These are the projects we currently have scheduled through schedule maintenance right now. We have HVAC replacement campus-wide, fire alarm upgrades, drinking fountain replacements, our Eastbrook Bradley Road, the bed second floor deck, which you approved at the last board meeting, photo lab fume upgrade from the safety issue, some drainage issues in our Holt building. South campus got painted, including their handrails. So that was really great. And we're adding some HVAC in some shops that currently don't have it.
Great. Any other questions, Lisa?
Next slide. We are also continuing on with our track and field and softball project using a combination of district and bond funds to get that completed. And we are wrapping up the Manteca Barn project. We are waiting for a power pole and from the state to get our water permit to be able to drill the well. So our power pole was supposed to go in today, but it got pushed another 2 weeks. So we're wrapping that one up as well. And I think we have a picture of our barn. That's our barn.
It's nice.
It's nice. Any questions?
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Bowman. I know Stacy's been here probably as long as I've been here. And we just want to thank
you. Been here longer than I have. Just let me know.
Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Your capability to keep up with all the repairs and the monitoring of what needs to be done, because it's not an easy job.
Thank you.
A demanding job. Thank you.
Yes.
A few years back, we were looking at proposals for solar panels, and I think we were talking about covered parking with the panels. How is that project going anywhere?
He is telling me to get that going again, so we will be doing that.
Sure. There's some new legislation that was passed. I forget the name of the law. It was the infrastructure bill that was passed maybe a few months ago. That was the federal infrastructure bill. There was some earmarks or some funding opportunities with solar that we wanted to review and understand before we move forward with solar. So we're looking at those and seeing if there would be a benefit to doing it using the new legislation that passed.
Do you have any solar panels here at this time?
No.
None of the newer buildings. I think if we were to do any new building, they'd probably...
It's required through the chancellor's office that solar is added to the building. Mm-hmm. So it's part of the new building structure from the chancellor's office.
Yes.
In the last couple of years, we've had some plumbing leaks and problems. And I know for at least the last 30 years, every January consists of pretty significant flooding on a number of buildings on campus. Is there anything being done to assess the condition campus-wide of our plumbing infrastructure to hopefully avoid, finding out when the pipe breaks and find out before the pipe breaks? And secondly, what are we doing about storm sewers? And when we have drainage and, when the rains inevitably come in January and flood the regular places, where they are, so do I. What are we doing about a long-term solution to that problem other than getting a pump and pumping it out and replacing the carpet and wait for next year?
Good question. So we're able to buy our own high-end jetter system that our plumbers can use instead of waiting for Roto-Rooter to go around every year to jet out all the lines, the storm drain lines. We did find our issue in Holt, which is one of the projects that we are fixing over there. We are also working with, we do have two great new plumbers that are literally using the new jetter and jetting all the lines in the buildings that have probably never been done. And as they find broken lines, they have been replacing them. So they systematically have been going through all the buildings. Right now, they've finished bud. They're in Toshima right now to fix the gallery area before we put a new floor in. And then they're going to work their way around the campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Student services restructuring.
Good evening, Board of Trustees, Dr. Aguilera Lawrenson, community members. I'm here to just do a presentation on the student services restructure. When I first got here, as we stated, I think earlier, there weren't any deans of student services. And so as I went through and did the initial structure based on some research that we did looking at local community colleges, I've been here 2 years, March the 1st. We decided to do like a workflow assessment on student services. And so today I'm here to present to you kind of some outcomes on provide some feedback. We assessed the effectiveness of workflow within student services. One of the deans was assigned the dean, and I'll go over that in the next slide, but had a heavy load based on some feedback that was provided by the prior president on how the structure was requested to be put through. And so we've done an assessment. I got feedback from constituent groups and then did a divisional listening tour to kind of work with faculty, the managers, as well as classified professionals to hear their feedback of what was going on in the department and division. And so the result was, next slide, please, that as you can see, the current responsibilities for each of the deans were kind of all over the place. So for Dean Aguilar, he, I won't read them all to you, but he had a hodgepodge of areas. Dean David had counseling, financial aid, admissions, and records. She was responsible for Civitas implementation, our action crisis team, learning communities, and the director of EPIC position that will be coming down the pipeline. And then Dean Thomas, who was formerly Dean Scott, had special programs, veterans, empowerment resource programs, and student conduct. And so some deans had more than others, and then there wasn't a real rhyme or reason. And so to the left here, under Dean of Student Services, what we did was kind of reorganized. And now Dean Aguilar will be the Dean of Outreach, Onboarding, Student Life, and Equity Programs. Dean David is the Dean of Enrollment and Retention, and Dean Thomas will be the Dean of Counseling and Special Programs. And all of their responsibilities are listed on the right-hand side here. So you can see that there it makes more sense as to how the deans are supervising. What we decided to do was add that name, because I got feedback from some groups that just having the deans of student services was confusing. So they'll add that title that's underneath their name to their signature lines as well. Next slide, please. So this is the new proposed org chart. And moving forward, each of the deans will have all of those supports. And we're proposing the next step will be looking at administrative supports within those areas to make sure that they have the classified personnel support needed based on the new workflow. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions? Trustees? Yes, Dr. Blanton.
I couldn't see, but where are the veterans going to be?
If you could go back to the slide before this, I think it'll be easier to see. One more slide, please. There we go. So the veterans will now be under the equity programs and will report to Dean Aguilar. So Dean Aguilar will have outreach and onboarding, the Delta Connect Center, student life, basic needs, Dreamer Success Center, empowerment resource programs, and veterans.
So does this change the location?
We're working on that, Trustee Blanchard. So at this time, Stacy's team is moving folks around so that we can move the veterans back into the old Veterans Resource Center in the Dorico building.
That'd be better.
Yeah, that was on the first floor.
That's good to know.
Yeah. You're welcome. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Yeah. Yes. To where you just were. So in the middle column at the bottom, Dean Thomas has veterans, empowerment resource
programs. Right. So that's her old. Yeah. That's okay. And so the right hand side is their new responsibilities. And we thought it made more sense to have counseling under one dean. So we have the special programs and counselors with our learning communities and student conduct reporting to one person versus having it divided, which is a really big responsibility when you think about admissions and records and financial aid. That in itself is a huge responsibility.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes,
probably a question for Dr. Lawrenson. Are you considering an examination on the instructional side of the campus similar to this?
I'll let him answer that.
We're currently looking at the division of labor for the teams, the structure, whether or not we have enough support, whether or not we have enough of the reporting structure that needs to be there. That is very high on my list of things to be pulling together and bringing to the campus for conversation.
Thank you, Pat. And I do want to say regarding instruction, I had a proposed list, and then with the transition that happened, then Joe was working on that, and then Holly. So it's just been, and it's a lot because of all the committees you have to take it through. There's a lot of work that has to be done before you can roll it out. So he's working on that. We also have to consider, in addition to workload, just the current functions of the campus. Those are a little bit different. So I know he's looking at it with a different lens at the moment.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say one more thing. Lenita, I really commend you for going on your listening tour, taking that information and making adjustments in your area. I've heard a lot of very positive comments regarding that. I just want to thank you for that work, because I know that took a lot of time and energy, and I think it was very positive energy. And the more we can go in and talk to the constituency groups in those areas and get that feedback, it really helps in terms of creating a more sensible structure. And then so I just wanted to commend her for that. When she came in with her plan, I went, this makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, are you just giving a thumbs up?
Oh, yeah,
that was All right. Future board items. Are there any trustees who want to put future board items on the agenda? No? Okay. Communication, constituent groups. Board members, Charles.
Thank you for a great meeting.
Kathy? Well, since I was gone last time because I was sick, and by the way, thank you very much for approving my absence. I thought we were supposed to shop locally, but here we are with a lawyer from Fresno and a lawyer from Pleasanton and no lawyers from Stockton. Then the other thing, I got a call from a staff member here at Delta saying, your president is out in the area trying to recruit somebody to fill your spot. I'm not done yet. I'm still here. So the next day, I went to San Andreas and spent the day. Then I went to Angels Camp, and then I was in Lockford.
I have to call you out of order. You're talking about a closed session item. Thank you.
A closed session item. What?
What are you?
That's not a closed session item.
Would that be Elaine?
I'm not clear what Trustee Garcia was speaking
about. What are you referring to, the president? What president?
I guess it was you. They told me that it was my board president.
Again, I will tell you, that's a closed session item that you can't talk about in public. So,
Okay.
Just,
I understand.
It's okay. Is there any other part of your report?
No, other than I met the sheriff from Calaveras County, and he was not on his horse. He was on his great big pickup truck. If you need anything, don't forget. Then another guy out of the pub comes running out and says, oh, I know you. You're from Franklin. Wrong. I'm not from Franklin, but hello, how are you?
Thank you. Dr. Blanchard.
I just want to congratulate the athletic department for outstanding competition and the coaches. I think the coaches deserve an applause. It takes from the heart to work with athletic people, because I know I work with coaches all my life, and they seem to ignore how much they're being paid. They just want to give. So thank you, coach. I appreciate it. And then I also want to share an experience in a hospital. And the gentleman had a heart attack, and he was telling me that every time he goes to the hospital, he always asks the nurses where they were trained. And he said, seemed like the majority come from Delta College. I said, which hospital did you go to? He said, well, I've been to St. Joe's, I've been to Madeline, I've been to General Hospital, I've been to all the three. It seemed like our nurses are all over the place. So congratulations. And we feel proud of our nursing program, as I say each time. Our athletic department show us off in different ways. And I just hope the pools are in good shape since we have a good aquatic team. We need to get our field sticks for baseball, football, basketball. We need to get those going. But thank you, the coaches. Thank you, nurses department. Thank you, all the teachers that are involved doing their thing. I just have one comment that we are going to face less revenue probably next year. So we'll probably be working professors a little harder in the sense that they would have to help us recruit more and bring in more students, because some of them are going to Modesto, some of them go consume, some of them are even going to San Francisco. We should have the students that we had, like 26,000 at one time. So I'm hoping the coaches will share, as long as we fix the field for you, then maybe we can bring more students, because if an athlete that come here, they usually bring other friends. And that's the beauty of recruiting in athletics department. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple of things. I was asked to listen to some speech debates over in Lodi for the California Alliance Club. And it was very interesting. They were seniors. A few of them were going to come to Delta College. And I tried to recruit the high school coach, speech coach, to come work part-time. But he was pretty good. And also I attended the members of our staff, management, and our students, as well as the faculty. An awesome job on the conference February 25th for the Dreamers. It was very well attended on a rainy, rainy day. And there was just so many things going on in terms of what we were offering students. And Dr. Lawrence and I were at an event for Hispanic serving institutions in Sacramento last week, and we had people from Univision come up and speak to us regarding the conference, and they did a piece on their station. They were just amazed at the participation and the involvement students had, so thank you. Thank you for the reports. They were very informational, and kudos to the young ladies for winning that, and also for Ms. Mora. It's just tremendous. But I did see it on Instagram and Facebook, so I gave you comments for that. Thank you very much. Constituent groups. Academic Senate.
Good evening, board members, executive leadership team, and community members. We're doing a joint report tonight. First off, thank you for granting our hardworking colleagues tenure tonight. We appreciate your support. Just wanted to let you know that we have one of our tenured faculty members here with his wife and parents. Tenure is a great milestone, and all family are so proud of the achievers. So we'd just like to take a second and acknowledge them. Haley Felkins, Gregory Gibson, who's here tonight.
Greg, would you like to introduce your family? Please.
Sure.
We'll step This is my wife, Melissa, my mom, Judy, and my dad, Dennis.
Thank you so much.
And of course, I lost the list. Here we go. Okay. Amanda Hibbler, Daniel Ng, Andre Tolentino, Jeffrey Topping, and Lauren Valterza. So we're very proud of our faculty members, and thank you for your support. Some highlights that faculty have been hard at work on over the past 2 weeks include lots of us are continuing to serve on faculty hiring committees across the campus. We're in the process of appointing a local non-credit liaison to the statewide academic senate. And our hope is that with our college's increase in non-credit course offerings, they'll be able to work really seamlessly with the state and give us advice and vice versa, open up funding opportunities, things like that. Our Senate and our union elections are coming up at the end of this semester with a variety of positions open, so we may or may not be here later on. We have an emeritus letter. I'm very excited to announce that we have an emeritus letter coming to the next board meeting. We are continuing discussions around different student success tools and resources to help improve the student experience at Delta College. And there's a strong interest in updating our program maps through an equity lens. Faculty recognize that many of their program maps need to be worked on, and they're willing to do that work. So we talked about that at both our union and our Senate meetings. We also wanted to let you know there's so many events happening both online and in person for Women's History Month, and we want to just give our appreciation to the faculty and staff who have organized and sponsored these events. And our next Senate meeting is Wednesday, April 5th at 3 p.m. on Zoom, as usual. And then we're going to end with a quote from Dale Carnegie tonight. And the quote says, most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept trying when there seems to be no hope at all. We know that change is hard. We know that we're going through it right now. But we also know that we as a group can get our college and our student success rates to where they need to be by focusing on collaboration, our students, and equity across campus. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Classified Senate.
Good evening, board members, colleagues, community members present. My name is Susan Rodriguez. I am the current classified Senate president. I'm not much to report except for congratulations to our swim and dive team. Excellent. They have a great athletics program, but right behind them is our nursing program because I worked with them for 2 years and I loved working with the students. It's a very competitive program and it's very, very well taught. Yes, everywhere you go, most of the time, if you ask them where they're from, they will say Delta College. And that proves that that program has not only been increasing, not only in competitiveness, but in quality of students that the program is producing. Just on the Classified Senate, we are gearing up for our 30th annual Classified Retreat, which is next Wednesday. It's a whole day of team building. And since I have a captive audience, a large captive audience, because we have 130 people that registered, we will be talking about our proposed professional development day in the summer. So I'll be gathering some information about the professional development opportunities that they would like to see. So, and that's pretty much it. Congratulations again to everybody. And yes, I just saw the dates on those buildings and I don't think I was born then. But yes, we are working. Our department is working very, very, very hard at trying to mitigate the deficiencies that we have. We know it takes a lot of funding. We know it takes a lot of work, but we are trying to make our campuses, all three sites, better for our students. Thank you.
Thank you. California School Employees Association.
Hello, I'm representing the CSCA E Board as the parliamentarian sergeant in arms position. I want to thank everybody for speaking up and the recognitions, and I wish everybody a good night.
Thank you. Management Senate.
The Management Senate has no report to see.
Student government.
Yes, so the Associated Students of Delta College is currently working on a student survey with the objective of learning what priorities the students would like our student government to focus on. For example, one of the priority options, which is a really big one, is working on getting more signage on campus. That is a very big one. A lot of students are getting lost. So that we're putting that out there so that students, so we can see if students want us to focus on these different options. And that's all from the student government, but I do want to say something from a personal note, and that is I've taken Professor Gibson, I've taken one of your stats class, and I do not like math, like, at all, but I really enjoyed the class. I really enjoyed it.
No, I'm going to get you an A.
You earned it.
Thank you. California Teachers Association, do you have anything?
No, we spoke already. We're good. Thank
another. You. Police officers, Gordon McCars, our superintendent president, Dr. Robinson.
Yes, first I'd just like to say congratulations to the faculty who received tenure tonight. It is a major milestone. And when people say, oh, it's not a big deal, I've been there and it is a big deal. So I do want to congratulate all of you. And Greg, I've had the pleasure of working with you, especially when I was VPI. And I just want to say it's been a pleasure to work with you. So congratulations. Your parents should be very proud of you because you're a wonderful colleague and do a lot of great work for students. So I just want to say congratulations to you personally.
Thank you.
I just also wanted to acknowledge our music program who hosted a band festival last week. And the reason I'm pointing it out is that takes a lot of time, energy, coordination, patience, a lot of hours early in the morning, late in the evening, preparing musicians, creating adjudicators, and doing a whole lot of work. And that's a really important way to highlight Delta College and for prospective students to learn about our programs. As high school students. So it's a great opportunity for outreach. And many of our programs do these types of activities, but I would call them the unsung heroes. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that department and all of their efforts on behalf of students. And lastly, what I want to say is that, you know, we are going through some difficult, I'll call them growing pains. And sometimes those growing pains are very, very, very painful. I would just ask that as we do that, that everybody keep their eye on the student. Try to remember that no matter how frustrated you are, that the person that you're speaking to on the other end is a human being, and to show kindness, to be a good colleague. And remember, we're role modeling for our students. They're watching everything that we're doing all the time. And if we want to build a better society, we have to reflect that in our drive, in our communications, in our honesty. And remember that I really believe this, that we are all here, the members of this board, the staff, the faculty, the administration of this college, and the members of the public who work with us care about our students, want to do what's best for this community. That's what we share in common, and we cannot lose sight of that. So I would just ask that when you get frustrated, remember that. When you get frustrated, go hang out in Danner for a few minutes, talk to some students, and remember what it's about. And that, although it might seem sometimes like the person you're working with might not share that intention, I think you need to look deeper at that. And remember what's common, because if we work together, we can do a lot for students. But if we work opposed to each other, we will get nowhere. And that will not serve our community, that will not serve our students, and that will not allow us to make the Delta College that I know that we're capable of being. Thank you.
Thank you. With no other comments, this meeting's adjourned.